Tonight is Wednesday, May 15th. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're doing Inyane Omer.
Hey, Rabotai. We are in the midst of the third Shi'ur on Inyane Spirata Omer. Last week we covered whether or not the mitzvah of Omer is a Doraita or the Rabbanan. The Machlok is the Rambam versus almost everybody else. The consequences, the many consequences of the difference between the two. And the prior share, we saw the issue as to whether or not the Omer is related to the Chag HaPesach, or it is totally independent of the Yontov of Pesach. It happens to be B'mikre, offered during the Yontov of Pesach, but it's nothing to do. It's just the 16th day of the month of Nisan that has no connection to the Kedushat Hayom, sanctity of the Yontov of Pesach. Tonight, we're going to focus on a very unusual chinuch and a very interesting principle that has practical ramifications that the Rav once suggested to explain the chinuch's opinion. So if you take the first sheet, which is called Rain Out Number 1, that was for Monday night's game that was rained out. So if you know the style of the chinuch, is that he follows the parshiyot and delineates and explains all of the mitzvot of the Torah, 613 commandments, based on the parsha. So here it's in the midst of his Parshat Emor, and in determining what are the 613 mitzvot, there are many debates as to what are the 613, he chose to follow Rambam's description of what the 613 mitzvot are. So, and in every single one of his mitzvot, he organizes it into three parts. One is a description of the mitzvah itself. Then he calls something Mishrashei HaMitzvah, the philosophy of the mitzvah, the underlying philosophy of the mitzvah. And then he follows it with a third part called Dinei HaMitzvah, a scattering, a smattering, not terribly extensive, of some of the halachot that might be associated with that particular mitzvah. That's the style of the chinuch. Its authorship is not exactly known. It is attributed to a person by the name of Rabbi Aaron Halevi, the Ra'ah, who wrote a commentary on some Masechtos and Shas. Many historians believe that that the Ra'ah wrote the chinuch, but he never identified himself by name. And in his introduction, he writes that my purpose of my book is to help my son get to know all of the mitzvot of the Torah. And he wrote this as a diary, in effect, to help his son explain the mitzvot. So this is the mitzvah.
Sorry, for the bar mitzvah, right?
I don't remember. For the bar mitzvah? Could be. Okay. And so this is the mitzvah amongst the many mitzvot in Parshat Emor. This one is describing the counting of the Omer. The first page describes the mitzvah itself, where he tells you whether it's a mitzvah to count the days, the weeks, and so on and so forth. And now we're starting with Mishrashei HaMitzvah towards the bottom of Rain Out 1. Mm-hmm. Mishrashei HaMitzvah Altsar HaPshat. The idea of the mitzvah of counting the Omer al pi hapshat, lefi shekol ikaran shel Yisrael eino ela haTorah. This is well known. This whole explanation that he's going to give, it's leading up to a bomb question that he will ask. Everybody knows that the most important principle that Am Yisrael have is their commitment to Torah. And on account of commitment to Torah, heaven, earth, and Am Yisrael were created. If not for my covenant of what? of the Torah, the Brit Sinai, Yomam Valaila would not exist. Vehi Ha'ikar Vehasiba Shenigalu V'yatsumi Mitzrayim. That is the fundamental reason why we left Mitzrayim. Kidei Shiyikablu HaTorah B'Sinai, so that they will accept the Torah at Sinai, V'yikaimuha, and they will then fulfill it. Ukimosha Amar Hashem L'Moshe. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, at the very beginning of Moshe's assumption of the leadership of Am Yisrael, V'zeh lecha ha'ot ki anochi sholachticha. If you want to have a sign about what is about to happen, why did I send you to serve as my intermediary to get Paro to send you out of Mitzrayim? Behotziyacha et ha'ami Mitzrayim on page right now too. Ta'avdun et ho'elohim al ho'har hazeh. The very essence is so that you will serve, worship me on this mountain. Uperush hapasuk kilomar hotziacha otami mitzrayim yielecha ot shetaavdun es Elohim al harazeh. The fact that they will be delivered from Mitzrayim shall serve as the sign to Am Yisrael that they should indeed accept the Torah at Sinai. Kilomar שתקבלו התורה שהיא העיקר הגדול שבשביל זה הם נגאלים והיא תכלית הטובה שלהם. It is the ultimate reason for God being good to them. ועניין גדול הוא להם יותר מן החירות לעבדות. Even more than simply being redeemed from slavery is the idea that you're going to, which is also a value unto itself, certainly worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention to terminate their slavery, but it's a peanut compared to the major prize. V'lachein ya'aseh Hashem l'Moshe ot tzeitam me'avdut l'kabalat ha'Torah. Ki ha'tafel osin ot le'olam el hakikar. So one should recognize that I'm not sure what the word tafel. It's not, doesn't mean the subsidiary. That's what it tests. I'm not sure how he means the word tafel. I'm not sure what it means. Osin ot liolam el haikar. Umipnei kein ki hi ikol ikaran shel Yisrael uba'avuro nigalu. Since this is the essential element of Am Yisrael, for this reason Allah only they were redeemed, va'alu l'chol hagedula she'alu eleha, nitztavinu limnot mimacharat yom tov shel Pesach ad yom nitinat ha'Torah. They are told to count from the time they left Mitzrayim until the day of Kabbalat HaTorah. Now this whole theory is as logical and as compelling as it might sound, is nowhere to be found in the Torah text. Nowhere. In fact, the Torah in chapter 23, which I told you you have to know by heart, and I photostated again here, I'll show you later, there is no reference whatsoever that Shavuot is the Yom Tov of Kabbalat HaTorah. Doesn't say it any place in the Torah. Just as the Torah doesn't say anything that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. These things are all introduced by rabbinic interpretation. The Torah itself makes no such identification. So why do I count in line 4? Leharot b'nafshenu hachefetz hagadol el hayom hanichbad hanichsaf lilibenu. To show and demonstrate how much we desire this particular day and how significant it is to our heart. Ke'eved yish'af tzeil. Like a slave out in the burning sun will crave, what? A little shade. Ve'yimne tamid matai yavo ho'et hanichsaf elav shiyetze lecherut. If a slave has been told that one day he's going to be freed, Trust me, it's going to count every single day. Ki haminyan mar'ela adam ki kol yish'o v'chol cheftso lahagia el hazmanahu. Counting is a demonstration that my entire life, my essence, is directed at that particular time. V'zehu she'omonin le'omer kilomar kach v'kach yomim avru min haminyan. The ain only monin kach v'kach yomim yeshnonu lizman. You don't count 49 days left to the Omer. Why? Ki kol zeh mare banu haratzon hechazak lahagia elazman. I am looking for what? The way to get closer to the time. So I say 1 day, 2 days. It builds up intensity. Starting number 49 is a little depressing. Oh my God, 49 days left to school. So, but like this, you build it up. 1 day left, 2 days left, and so on and so forth. Okay, not the most compelling, but that's what he said. Standard fare. V'alkein lo nirtze lahazkir b'tchilat cheshboneinu ribui hayamim. Therefore, we don't mention the vast number of days sheyesh lonu lahagia lekorban shtei alechem shel atzeret. That we have 49 whole days left to get until the korban called the shtei alechem of Shavuot. Now he asks two questions. V'al yiksha alecha lomar im kein achar she'avru rov hayamim shel shiva shavuot elu lama lo nazkir mi'ut hayamim hanish'arim. When we're halfway done, let's say after 25 days, then we should start to count down. 24 days left to the Omer, 23 days. Because that would be, once you get past the halfway mark, now you are really anticipating the desired end. And he answers, just simply, logically, because you don't change the format in the middle of the route. Okay. Now comes the question that I want to focus on. V'im tish'al, im kein, lama anu matchilin oto mimacharat ha-shabbat v'lo miyom rishon. Why do we start counting on the second day after the day after Pesach? Why don't we start counting the Omer on the first day of Yontif? Now, if this was a rabbinic takana, I can understand the question. You know, the rabbis could have done it. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. What do you mean? You ask Yisrael, why did Torah say? You can ask that 6,000 times. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Why did that? There are no answers to that question. So, the question itself is a little surprising that he's trying to look to give an answer for something that that he is the kasha heitzach neshu. The question is no question. We know why it's done, because that's what the Torah says. End of discussion. So he gives an answer. And that answer, although it's not necessary, is an important principle. Hatshuva ki hayom harishon nityached kulo lahazkarat hanes hagadol v'hu yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the first day is devoted exclusively to highlight HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shehu ot umofes bechidush ha'olam ubehashkachat Hashem al b'nei ha'adam. It is the sign and the miracle that God had caused in chidush ha'olam. Doesn't mean, let's say, the creation of the world, but that God went ahead and even changed nature in order to what? Impress upon His subjects, both Jew and Egyptian alike, of God's intervention. V'ein lanu le'arev b'simchato u'lahazkir imo shum inyan acher. And on that first day, it is inappropriate to mix in another thought at all. Don't start thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satorah. Focus right now on Kabbalah on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Va'alkein nitakein hacheshbon miyom sheni miyad. The day after you leave, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu legislates that it's Mimacharat HaPesach. Here the Chinuch is touching upon a very critical question. And I'm going to frame the question based on questions that I receive many times. Somebody has a prolonged illness. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in his capacity as a Rofei Cholim, you don't one day be sick, at least most of the time, and the next day everything's fine and dandy. It takes time. Getting better is a process. So the halacha is that there are four individuals who are obligated to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you go for a second, just for a second, to page Libracha. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Arba'a Tzrichim Lehodot. There are four individuals who are obligated to offer thank you notes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One, Yordei Hayam, those who successfully traverse the ocean. Holchei Midbarot, those who successfully go the ocean. Go to the desert, excuse me. Umi shahaya chole v'nitrape. Somebody who was ill and got cured. Umi shahaya chavush v'beito asurim. And somebody who was released from prison. In fact, the paragraph that we began the Yom HaTzma'ut service, that parak of Tehillim, I think it's Kuf Yibayz, Hodu Lashem, mentions all four of these cases. That parak of Tehillim by David HaMelech mentions all four of those things. Yodu Lashem Chazdo v'nifle otav lebnei Adam. We thank God for His goodness and for the niflaot that He does for humans. And all four cases are mentioned. So now I ask you, somebody was critically ill and now they're somewhat on the road to recovery. Not completely, but they can walk around a little, they can even get out a little, but they still have a... When do you say Birchat HaGomel? Do you wait until what? You're completely recovered? Or even an interim stage requires Gomel as well? That's a question that is posed to many poskim. When is the appropriate time to say Birchat HaGomel? So the Rav cites another Gemara in Masechet Brachot on page Talumatar, the page right before it.
Is that the definition of saying Hosea Ben Shigomel?
Yes, that is the expression.
Not like a Sudat Hosea.
No, that it's also nice to have a Sudat Hosea, but the primary method is to say Birchat HaGomel.
Is it limited just to those four
items? No. That's going to, hold on, I'm going to get to that. So machloek is the Rav and Rav Moshe. Okay, hold on a second. Hanichnas lekrach. The Mishnah talks about somebody who is entering a city. He's in the midst of traveling, a long distance. So, mitpalel shtayim. He offers two tefillot. One, achat b'knisato ve'achat b'yitziyato. He offers two tefillot, one for entering the city and one when he's about to leave the city. In other words, this person is traveling, and when he comes to city number one, he has not yet reached his destination. He's got a way to go yet. Now, the assumption is when you travel at that time, every time you were intercity, in between, that you faced constant danger. Constant. Robbers, wild animals, when you got into the city limits, you had some degree of security. So I could have imagined, before I read this Mishnah, that when would the person turn around and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for arranging safe passage when you get to your final destination? And I finally get to where I'm supposed to be. Then you say, Rabbeinu Shalom, thank you for all the protection that you offered me all of these days and nights. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, as he gets to a temporary location, he already has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that tomorrow morning he's going to be facing the same danger that he did prior to his arrival in city number one. And so let's see what the essence of the tefillot are. Ben Azai Omer, Arba, Shtayim Biknisato, Ushtayim Biitziato. You're not supposed to make one bracha entering and one, you say two brachot entering and two brachot leaving. Number one, Notain Hoda'a Al She'avar. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu as soon as you enter city number one. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom. I made it thus far. And then, says Benal, so that's all the Chachamim require. That's enough. And then on your way out to city number, on your way out, you say another tefillah. What's the other tefillah? Rabbeinu Shalom, please protect me. I'm going back out to the wilderness. Benazai says that each time you have to say both. You say thank you as soon as you enter, and what? And Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm about to travel tomorrow, please save me. And then on your way out, you say, thank you for having given me safe passage up until now, please protect me. But it's one or two is not really my issue. But what do you see from here? So the Rav always said that you see from here that there is a chiyuv hoda'ah even though you have not yet received a complete yeshua'ah. Even if it's only a temporary one, you should offer thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, with an illness, it's hard to know, you know, when would be the right time to say, thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, despite the fact that it's not yet complete. So, you have to use good Seichel HaYashar. So, I would suggest, if somebody's bedridden, and now they can finally, they're bedridden for a while, and now they can get up out of bed. So that's some degree of recovery, and therefore that requires hoda'ah right there. And then when the illness has been totally alleviated, addressed, then you say hoda'ah a second time. So here, going back to the chinuch for a second. Why do I bring this in? Because, So therefore, even though the chinuch has just stated that it is our obligation to look completely at Kabbalat HaTorah, which is on Shavuos, you don't wait till Kabbalas HaTorah to what? To say thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, I've gotten to Har Sinai and I've received the Torah. That's not what we do. Yitzias Mitzrayim was a step along the way. Hence, that day has been set aside for thank you, and the thank you has to be so extensive that we don't even mention the what? The next issue yet. You focus exclusively on that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you. Okay. Good. It sounds like Dayenu. Very good. Very good.
But it completely conflicts with what you just said.
Right.
What?
That completely conflicts with what you just said.
No, I didn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, but first you said we want to only have Bismillah on the first day.
Because what are we doing?
Because we don't want to look to the future, we just want to give all our attention.
That's why we don't start counting.
Here to do both at the same time. look to the future on the past.
That was Ben Azai's opinion.
Okay, so
he won't agree. So let's run through the Tanakhama. The majority opinion that when you get into the city, just say thank you to Rabban Yisrael, thank you for getting here. When you're on your way out, you start a tefillah for the next leg of the trip. So the Megrish on a very famous Mishnah. I apologize, but you should remember the words of this Mishnah. It's the famous Mishnah in Psachim, which we've seen previously. The Mishnah says, "Afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyesev." An ani, a poor person, is not permitted to eat Pesach at night until he reclines. So, if you remember, at the pre-Mincha Shir of Shabbos Hagadol, Rav JJ mentioned this medrash. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, the medrash rather, quotes the pasuk in Parshat Bishalach, which says, "Vayhi Bishalach Ha'am et Bishalach Paro et Ha'am v'lo necham v'lo necham." God, Paro sent Am Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to take them directly into Eretz Yisrael, because in case they have to engage in battle, they'll run back to Mitzrayim. So what does the Torah say? Vayasev Elohim et ha'am derech hamidbar yamsof. Vayasev Elohim derech hamidbar. What does that mean? Vayasev Elohim. He made them go around circles, a circuitous route. Instead of taking the shortcut, it's going to be 40 years. In fact, Ibn Ezra says that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan the whole time. The Meraglim was just an excuse. But this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan the whole time. He knew that they were not ready for military conquest just yet. Fine. So the Medrash says, based on the word Vayasev, which means to go circuitous, Mikan Amru, from here we learn that a poor person has to what? Has to recline Seder night. So, it's a what a stretch. So many just learn, it's a cute use of the word Vayasev. Vayasev and Haseva is cute, similar, very nice. That's simple. So Rabbi J.J. said, the Rav said it before him, said that, but it was well received. He said, no. When Am Yisrael were told, right after Mitzrayim, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael right away. It's going to be 40 years. What would have been the attitude of Am Yisrael in regard to Yetzias Mitzrayim? Oh, for this, we're getting out of Mitzrayim? To spend 40 years in a desert? What, are you ripped?
They say that every time anyway.
What?
They were always saying that anyway.
I know they were saying that. Many times they said, Nit no Rosh, v'nashuva Mitzrayim. That's what they said half a dozen times. That's correct. But nonetheless, that first day of Pesach, even though they were destined to what? To spend the next 40 years, right now is something to celebrate. You have to celebrate it. Forget about going forward for the next 40 years. Concentrate on today. That lesson, Chazal believe, should be told to an Ani. The Ani of the Mishnah doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. That's how poor he is. Not only is he allowed to take money from the communal fund, Stucca, he's even allowed to take money from the public kitchen. The person who has less than three meals of food, that's his total asset. Less than three meals of food, that's the person entitled to take from the soup kitchen. If you have four meals worth to your credit, you're not allowed to take from the public kitchen. You're entitled to tzedakah, but not from the public kitchen. So how do we expect an ani to be able to recline and experience chayrut when he doesn't know when his next meal is coming from? That's what we learn from Vayasev Asam. Mr. Ani, forget about tomorrow. Forget about you don't know where you're sleeping tomorrow. You don't know what you're eating tomorrow. But tonight is Zman Cheruseinu, and we expect you to be able to go ahead and rally your emotional state to recognize I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu just what he did right now. In which case, the halacha is, according to the Rav, that same thing is true with Hagomer. You don't wait until the person is completely healed from all the other events you don't finish crossing the Yamsuf or an ocean until you cross the ocean. You don't get out of jail until you get out of jail. But illness is a slow process. Slow process. And therefore he said it would be appropriate perhaps to say Birchat HaGomel more than once when you have a major change and then, but hopefully, when you experience the full recovery. So as to whether or not there is an obligation beyond these four cases, the Rav was of the opinion that these four cases are not even mandated four cases. These are illustrations of danger. Illustrations of danger. Therefore, when I travel to Israel, I never bench Gomel. Neither way. Because today, flying is not necessarily recognized as a precarious situation which is laden with a lot of danger. Most flights don't... there was a helicopter that crashed into the Hudson River today. There have been plane crashes, there's no doubt. But statistically, it's a very safe... I don't feel that danger. If there's a terrible flight, there's lots of turbulence and it's jumping up and down, things like that, maybe yes. Rav Moshe believes that these four are absolutely mandated under all circumstances. Under all circumstances. And this machloikis also impacts another halacha of Tfilat HaDerech. Rav Moshe believes that when the Gemara says you are supposed to say Tfilat HaDerech when you travel more than a parsa, which is about a mile, you have to say Tfilat HaDerech. As long as it's not within a residential area. So when I was in Camp Magen Avraham, a long time ago, and we were in exit 96, what's the name of the city there? What? No, Liberty is what is Livingston Manor, thank you. In Livingston Manor, the town was about 4 miles from camp. And the driver was a student of MTJ. This guy made the drive 200 times a day. Every time he said Tfilas HaDerech. Because that's what Rav Moshe said. It's objective. This is what you have to do. I once discussed it with the Rav. He said, he didn't want to say nonsense, but it's foolish. To keep saying Tfilas HaDerech on a 4 mile drive where the guy can drive this in his sleep because he knows what the road looks like and so on and so on. It means when there is a real danger of travel, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shetolichenu L'Shalom, and so on and so on. Same thing the Rav said about flight. If you cross the ocean, today is no big deal to cross an ocean. And therefore he felt it does not necessarily warrant it. You have in a bad crash, so a crash is not one of the four listed there. But when you were in a crash and potentially the car, let's say the car was totaled or almost totaled and nothing happened to you, you say Birchas HaGomel. Birchas HaGomel.
You don't say Tfilas HaDerech when you fly?
Tfilas HaDerech? Yeah, I sometimes
it's the same.
It's the same, but that I do.
I do.
I say Tfilas HaDerech. Yeah, I do. Yeah?
I guess a woman who just given birth, that's
chola. Yes, 100% chola. She's a. That's why a woman who gives birth is obligated to say Birchat HaGomel. It didn't mention it on its own because it's just a subcategory. Correct. And as I tell everybody, You can't designate an agent to say thank you for you. The Mishnah Brewer writes, as he does often, that the husband can say Birchat HaGomer for his wife based on Ishto Kigufo. Okay? The Rav felt that that's a total not it doesn't operate at all. Ishto Kigufo has its halachic place, but not by Birchas HaGomer. Person should never send an agent to say thank you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, via an agent. Always make, I know it's uncomfortable sometimes, but, you know, I think in Rinat they do it in the most mechubad manner. The guy gives a clap and he says, Birchat HaGomer, Ezrat Nashim. Everybody turns and looks and answers. To say it under your breath is also not, you're supposed to answer. You have to answer.
Is there a limit if you didn't do it?
No. There's no limit whatsoever. Just as in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there's no limit till the time you could have brought a Korban Todah. At that time, you bring a, in the time of the Mikdash, you bring a Korban Todah as a thanksgiving. Whenever you come to the Mikdash, you can bring the Korban Todah.
I think people tell us when we have babies that
we're supposed to bench the now you hear it. Yeah. Yes. Now, hold on a second. Yeah. Now let me explain the bracha while we're at it. If you listen to the text, it's a very strange text. Hagomel lechayavim tovot. Maze chayavim. It means the people who are guilty. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has to make an assessment. Whenever there are decisions about have to be made between about you and me, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide whether or not you are going to be responded to favorably, or sometimes it's unfortunately, sometimes it's negatively? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a cheshbon every day, every minute of the day, about each and every one of us. So we acknowledge, I may not have been deserving of this alpidin. Hagomel lechayavim tovot. As if it said, Hagomel tovot lachayavim. Lachayavim. And I acknowledge, Rabbeinu Shalom, I am so thankful for what you've done, because I don't necessarily deserve it. And that's number one, about you should know about the bracha. And number two, we never thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the episode that triggered your recitation. We always broaden it and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for everything that you've done. Think of the word. Hagomer l'chayavim tovot, shegmolani, not tov zeh, but kol tov. And that's how we respond. Mi shigmalech kol tov. You know, hu yigmalech kol tov sala. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to do that. That's based on another halacha. That whenever a person is called upon to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one event, you should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything else that he does for you. We see this every time we recite Birchat HaMazon. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially for the grub. Hazanat HaKol. Then we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava and Toratcha Shelimadatanu. Then we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. And then we say, thank you for everything. Hu Heitiv, Hu Meitiv, Hu Yeitiv. That is a principle that applies to all elements of Hoda'ah. If you had a miracle take place for you at a particular location, every time you come back to the location, you have to what? Say a bracha. With Shem Malchus. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, she'asa li neis b'makom hazeh. Well, if you also had another miracle someplace else, so when you get to place number one, you say, Shasalines b'makom hazeh, u b'mikomot acherim. You make reference to the fact that there was a miracle that took place to you. Yeah?
Would you put that to a hospital? A hospital saved you, you had the whatever procedure, every time then you go back to this hospital?
If the hospital did something almost miraculous, yes. Every time you go back to the hospital, you make the bracha. The Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, Zichrono Livracha, had a massive heart attack in the Beis Medrash. 1 year. And apparently somebody there was a doctor or something, happened to have been there, and that doctor saved his life. So every single year, on that day, he came to the Beis Medrash and made the bracha in front of the whole yeshiva. She'asa l'neis b'makom hazeh. Every single year, he did that. So, no, he did it on the day. Correct. So here, therefore, says the Chida, going back to this, we cannot ignore, even though the destination was Mamad Har Sinai, nonetheless, you have to acknowledge the role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays in the interim, and therefore do not get mixed up with Kabbalat HaTorah on the first day of Yontiv, and wait until the second day, even though there's no kasha, as I told you, because the Torah said so, end of discussion. And the Torah could not have had that in mind, because the Torah has no clue whatsoever about Kabbalah HaTorah. In fact, the Gemara actually says that in all probability we received the Torah not on the sixth day of the month of Sivan, but on the seventh day of the month of Sivan, based on the calculations that they had at that time. And the Gemara says that during the time of sanctification of the new moon by the witnesses, Shavuos can be fifth day of Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan, or the seventh day of Sivan, depending on how many days of the month Iyar and Nisan and Iyar have. Because it all depends on the witnesses. And the date of Shavuos has nothing to do with the calendar. It's the counting of the Omer. Whenever the 49 days are up. So whatever the calendar says is immaterial. To our calendar always has it on the 6th, because we have fixed that the month of Nisan always has 2 days, and the month of Iyar always has 1 day, Rosh Chodesh. So it's always on the 6th. But in the time of the sanctification through the witnesses, sometimes both of them were 29 days. Sometimes both of them were 30 days. Sometimes one of them was 29, the other 30. So that's the possibility. The Gemara, Tosis asked that question. And he says, just lo plug. That's all. Once they established the obligation for all the festival, they said, let's not tamper it and tell Jews to observe Shavuos, even though there's no necessity for it whatsoever. That's correct. Now, that's point number one that I wanted to talk about. The Chinuch. Now, if you go for a second to page... Rain, rain, go away. Yes.
We don't know who wrote it, approximately when.
12th century. 12th or 13th century. I'm not sure exactly when the Ra'ol lived. It's become enormously popular, the Chinuch. It's very easy to read. It's not so complicated. And it's very, very... What?
It's very accessible.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. So it's again, it's middle of the 13th century. Yeah. Good. So now we're going to see a Baal HaMaor. The Baal HaMaor, one of the sharpest Rishonim, who wrote an attack on the Rif. That was his job, to attack the Rif on how he paskin the halacha in the Gemara. He was all of 18 when he wrote this, his commentary on the Rif. And then the Ramban wrote a commentary to defend the Rif against the critique of the Baal HaMaor, and he called it Milchamot Hashem. I'm waging God's war. In that's the Ramban's commentary. But look, I should have bracketed it. It's right at the beginning. Ubesvirata Omer. This is his last entry in Maseches Pesachim. Yeshi Shoalim, Matam Ein Anu Omrim Bo Zman. How come we don't say a Shechianu? We answered that already. We did that already. Not going to spend any time on it. Not going to spend any time. I want you to look at the third line. Third line. The ode. Ma, middle of the third line. Ma tam ein anu sofrin shte sfirot misafek kimo she'anu osim yontav sheni shnei yom tovim misafek. A lot of people ask that question. So his question is, why don't we count two nights every single night? Because when we start the first night, on this, which is the second night of Pesach, maybe the second night is really the first night. That's why we observe 2 days Yom Tov. Because it might be the first day. So then Macharat HaPesach is the next day. So every single night, I should count two different possible numbers. On the second night, I should count number one and number two, depending on which day of Pesach was the real day. That's his question. Why don't we count the Omer as a Sveika de Yoma? He answers, Uklalo Sheldavar, Ein Lanu Lahachmir Bisfirata Omer, She'eino Elo Lezecher Ba'alma. So he cites last week's answer, namely, that the majority of Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi, the Baal HaMor, that the counting of the Omer is only midrabanan. We would only bother doing something as a safek only if something was a deoraita. Then you cover yourself. But if something is only a derabanan, no need to bother to cover yourself. Because most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam that counting the Omer today is only mitzvah derabanan, because there is no Korban Omer. No, the Torah says mimacha ad miyom haviyachem es Omer hatnufa. Torah itself links it. Look at the page that I put. It's there in Vayikra 23. So, fine. That's what the Baal HaMor says. The question which everybody asks on the Baal HaMor is, what do you mean? Isn't Maror today only midrabanan? It is. Maror is a deoraita only if there is a Korban Pesach. So for those of you who kill yourself by eating horseradish, you can do away with it the second night. It's only derabanan. Why do I have to bother with it? I eat romaine lettuce, not a stick of lettuce, what's the big deal? But you want to eat 2 tons of horseradish and you start tearing and so on, like all your kid, grandchildren, they love to be smart Alex and taste the horseradish. And so why do you have to do it? It's also only with the Rabbanan, according to the Baal HaMor. And no one ever said that we don't do 2 nights of Maror even though it's only with the Rabbanan. So there are 2 other answers that I want to share with you to this question. One is Rab Chaim's answer. And he said, did you ever listen to the count? 1, 2, 3, whatever he's counting. Did he ever say, maybe it's 2, maybe it's 3? The count never said such. I watched Sesame Street a long time. A count has to be definitive. When you count something, you can't say, maybe tonight is 2, maybe tonight is 3. That's not the way people count. People count with a purpose and a conviction. Tonight is the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd. Maybe it's the 3rd, maybe it's the 4th. makes no sense. Says Reb Chaim, he believes that by definition, a count has to demonstrate a sense of certainty. That's what he answered. That's why Chachamim did not institute the halacha of Sveika D'Yoma when it comes to Sfira Sayyim.
Doesn't make sense because you have to end up in Shavuos for
49
days. So how could it be the second?
So then, that's why we observe 2 days of Shavuos.
So
because
we count the first time of Shavuos would be the 49th night?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly what would happen if you had a Sveika D'Yoma. The second night, the first night of Shavuos would still be the 49th day of the Omer. Just like the first day of the Omer is the second day of Pesach. And it might still be the first. So you would count both ways. On both ends, you would count during Yom Tov. Good. The Rav himself believed that there is a different, something that we mentioned, but I want to show the Gemara on page Tfilas Tau, and not Tfilas Geshem anymore, Tfilas Tau, which we benched on the first day of Yom Tov. Not Tfilas Geshem, but Bain Shalom, please listen. Even though the long rain forecast is for some nice weather, a couple of showers on Friday, a couple of showers on Monday, but then the 10 days in between, supposed to be nice, supposedly. We'll see. Yeah. The Gemara says, Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Barishona hayu masiyin masuot. Initially, the way they communicated to everybody when the Chodesh was sanctified in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, was by making a bonfire. Masiyin masuot. They went on top of a mountain, and the bonfire was seen for X number of miles, and they went up on a mountain when they saw it, and they lit it as well. Now, at that time, when they did that, they were able to see the fires even in Bavel, because they were able to keep the chain up from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, just by lighting the fires. Mishikilkilu hakutim, the Kutim decided, that's a sect of people who observed certain mitzvot and didn't observe other mitzvot. There's a whole debate about the Gemara. They lit the candles, the bonfires, on the wrong night just to confuse us. So they abandoned the candle system, the bonfire, that there would be Pony Express going from Beis Din Yerushalayim, coming and letting you know. Fine.
Were the Kutim Jews?
They were. Well, no way, we weren't sure. They initially were considered like Jews, and in fact, the Gemara says, "Kol mitzvah shehechziku bakusim, any mitzvah that the Kusi observed." Harbe midaktikin ba yoser mi Yisrael. They're more careful about it, more stringent than even members of Am Yisrael. But then, slowly but surely, they discovered, until they saw in one of their temples, Dumut Yonah. There was an image of a raven, bird, to which they were praying to in their temples. So, that's that, and then they said, Harehem ke'akum l'chol divrayim. They're considered Gentiles completely. But earlier on, we trusted their shechita. Then they said, no shechitas kusi allowed. Then they said, you know what, we're not going to trust their wine any longer. We're not going to trust their cheese any longer. Then they said, they're goyim. But initially, Chachamim did not know exactly how to handle them. Fine. The ilu batlu kusim. Abdin and Chad Yoyma. Once the kusim were eliminated, butlu kusim, so what should happen? Abdin and Chad, you should go back to one day. The Hecha de Matu Shluchin, wherever the Pony Express reached by the 15th of the month, Abdin and Chad Yoyma. You only do one day, because you know exactly when Rosh Hashanah or when Sukkot is. So the only places where what? Where you had to observe 2 days was what? Outside wherever they could get. Outside they could get. Now I'm just going to tell you, just so you should know, when you walk around Yerushalayim, people talk about it. The Brisker Rav, the Rav's uncle, Rav Chaim's son, believed that this halacha has to be taken literally. Meaning, if they went to Geula, they didn't observe 2 days Yantif. But how do I know that the Pony Express stopped off in Geula? I would say the same thing. And he recommended L'chumra observing 2 days of Yantav in Geula. The Brisker Rav. Very strange. Strange. But that's what he says. Hashta asked the Gemara, D'yarinam b'kviya d'yarcha. Today, everybody knows the calendar. You look at your OU pocket calendar. My time of Dina Treyome. Why do we observe 2 days Yantav? Answers the Gemara. Mishum the Shulchu Mitam. They sent a message from there. From Bavel, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He Zoharu b'minag avoseichem b'yedecha. Just maintain the minhag. If you have a minhag to observe 2 days Yantiv, maintain the minhag. Said the Rav, based on something we said 2 weeks ago. The only thing that this applies to are Hilchos Yom Tov. When there are Hilchos Yom Tov, then you now have to what? You now have to observe 2 days. Hilchos Yom Tov. But anything that's not necessarily Hilchos Yom Tov is not included in the edict of Hizahru b'minag avoseichem b'yadeichem. Counting the Omer, as we said 2 weeks ago, is not a function of the Yom Tov. What is a function of? The Korban Omer. Therefore, the takana of maintaining minag avoseichem biyadenu does not apply to the counting of the Omer. It's connected, not, it happens to fall out on the second day of first day of Chol HaMoed. Or the second day of Yantav, depending where you are. But it's not related to Kedushas Yom Tov. It's only halachot that are related to Yom Tov have to observe Minag Avoseichem B'Yadeichem. But anything that's not a Yom Tov halacha, even though it's captured on that particular day, that day, that has nothing to do whatsoever with Yantav Sheni, and therefore, in our day and age, even though we observe 2 days Yom Tov, we do not count 2 nights of the Omer every single night.
Then back in the days of the bonfire?
When there was a real suffix? No, bonfire, nobody observed 2 days. They got to everything. Only with the Pony Express. So that's a good question. What would they have done when there was a real suffix? In all probability, they had to count me suffix. Yeah. Because there was a real suffix. Today, there's no real suffix any longer. But that's based on Hizoharu Minig Avoseichem. But at the time of the Pony Express, when there was a real suffix, that's not Minig Avoseinu. That's Sveka de Oraisa Lechumra. That's why you have to observe 2 days Yom.
So then the answer that's given in here, oh, but if you're counting, you have to be sure about the counting, that
would fall away. Correct. That would fall away. That's correct. That's correct.
Wouldn't counting both negate? Because like nowadays, if you count the wrong, like if you counted a day ahead, then you're out. Huh?
Yeah, that's a different, that's the Bahag. I'm going to do that next week. About why is it that if you miss a night or count the wrong, you can't count with a bracha again. So I'm going to talk about that whole Bahag. It's generated so much halachic discussion. And in fact, recently, a Sephardic Rav, I forgot his name, Avadi Yosef used to bash him all the time, but a Sephardic Rav swears that he saw an old manuscript of the Bahag, and the Bahag never said it. Never said it.
So one would always knock out the other, because you're wrong on one account.
Correct.
You're going to be wrong no matter